Okay, so let us learn tonight another piece in the Sefer Vigadita by Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. And it's on this week's Parsha, on Parshas Vayetze, on the Pasuk of Ayidar Yaakov Neder Lemar. Yaakov Avinu makes a neder, and he says, Im yele kimi madi, if Hashem should be with me, Ushmarani baderach hazer sharnecha helech, and he will guard me on this path on which I am taking. V'nasan li lechem lechol, uveged lobesh, and he gives me bread to eat and clothing to wear. V'shavti v'shalom v'savi, and I will return in peace to my father's home. V'ya Hashem li lalikim, and Hashem will be with me as a god. So the Sefarno says that the neder that Yaakov Avinu is making is basically, he's not asking for any extravagant things. He's not asking for, if he gives me a palace and he gives me the fanciest foods. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all you need to do is give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, and then I will do anything that you require of me, and I will even be able to stay with your Midas Hadin when you're giving me, when you're doling out difficult times. That's fine. I can handle that as long as you give me the basic sustenance that I need. The Yesh Kan Yesaid, so Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky explains that there's a tremendous Yesaid here at play. Sheshanino, we learned in Avis, im ein kemach ein tyra, if there's no flour, there's no tyra. What does that mean? Ki misha ein lo mayachal hech yasek batera. The Bartanura explains that if you have nothing to eat, you can't learn tyra. Which means that the most basic thing that a person needs is to eat. He doesn't need to eat fancy foods, he just needs to eat. If you don't have anything to eat, you can't really learn Torah. If you ever tried to learn Torah on an empty stomach, it's quite difficult. You need to have something in your stomach. If it's, it doesn't have to be anything, you know, crazy, just like simple things that you're able to think clearly with. And the Kosava Sefarno, the Sefarno says in Bereshis, She Yaakov Avinu Hikdim Bibirchasai as Zevulon, if you notice, when Yaakov Avinu blesses his children, Zevulun comes first, before Yisachar. Why? Because Zevulun was busy with his business, Yisachar was busy with Torah, and also Moshe Rabbeinu, when he blesses Klal Yisrael at the end of the Torah, he also puts Zevulun ahead of Yisachar. Because even though, of course, Yisachar is the one that learns Torah, and Torah is supreme, but Zevulun gets first billing. Why does he get so chash of a slot? Why does he precede Yisachar? Because without getting sustained, without being able to have money in your pocket and to have food in your cupboard, you cannot learn Torah. And that's what Zevulun provides. Zevulun provides Yisachar the necessary food that will keep him going. The fuel that is able to make sure that Torah continues is the fuel of food. Ulefichah kasva sefarno hiktima kasva birchas kayanim. Yivrach Hashem b'mamen, v'yishmeracha me'afseidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should bless me with what? With money. And you should protect me from hefseidim, from loss of that money. And then later in the Birchas Kehanim, lifnei yar Hashem panav eilecha b'mar tayrasai, the bracha of Torah is yar Hashem panav eilecha. But the first bracha, says the Sefarno, before Birchas HaTorah, before the bracha that we give Klal Yisrael as Kehanim to illuminate your face, which means with Torah, first you need money. If you don't have money in your pocket, then you cannot learn Torah. If you don't have food, then Torah is simply impossible. So even though Torah is very holy, and it's a very, there's nothing greater than Torah, but if you want to make sure to ensure that Torah exists, that requires Zvulun. Yisachar without Zvulun cannot exist. You need a Zvulun in order to make sure that the Torah has a continuity. Umibala Turim. Pamayim kasav likhi, yarev kamatu likhi, likhi no li pas lachem, shemein kemach ein tera, likhi v'gematria kemach, v'oz, ki lekach tev nasati lachem. Does anyone look in the Balaturim when you're being Mavir Sedra ever? The Balaturim is something that many people find is like their favorite commentary. And let me just explain to you a little bit, just, you know, once we're speaking about the Balaturim a second, explaining exactly how the Balaturim works. The Balaturim, it's interesting, the Balaturim was the author of the Tur. The Tur Shulchan Aruch was written by the Baal HaTurim, that's how we call the Baal HaTurim. His Baal means like the author of the Turim. And he was the son of whom? The Rosh, very good. He was the son of the Rosh. And he wrote this commentary, Al HaTorah, called the Baal HaTurim, Al HaTorah. It was originally a much longer commentary. We just have like the condensed version, but there's really a much longer, more, it's like a regular commentary. What it used to be not so condensed, but over time it became very condensed. So the Balaturim is very interesting. Sometimes the Balaturim just gives you a straight gematria, which is always very, very fascinating to see the gematrias of Balaturim, or he gives Rashi Tevas or Safi Tevas. But many times the Balaturim, what I feel is like the best contribution, if I, you know, personally, is that he'll tell you other times in the Torah where, or in Tanakh maybe, that the same form of the word exists. So, for example, he'll say like by this word, Yarev Kamater Likhi. Likhi is my lekach, my... whatever, but that word likhi, where else does it appear in Tanakh? So he says there's one other place that likhi appears, and that is in Melachim Aleph, likhi no li pas lachem. So Yarav Kamatur likhi is talking about Torah. The other likhi is talking about Kemach, it's talking about pas lachem. So what's the conclusion? What do you take from this? Balaturim says, if there's ever two places or more than two places, and those will bring multiple places throughout Tanakh, that the same form of a word exists, and that teaches you either by comparison or by contrasting that there is something at play here. Whenever the Torah uses the same form of word in different locations, there's something to be taken from that. Just like a gematria is something to be taken from, and the Rosh Teva, Savi Teva is another system that the Balaturim tells us is very significant. So here he says, Likhi, it's used once by Torah, it's used one by Lechem, because Lechem and Torah go hand in hand, even though it seems like they're such opposites. Torah is holy, Torah is special, Torah is Ruchni, and a piece of bread, a bagel, that's so gashmi. Like, how do you even compare that? And the answer is they're very comparable, even though they're opposites, but they're very comparable because without the bagel, you can't have Torah. If you don't have something in your stomach, if you can't feel comfortable while you're learning, then it's very, very hard to learn. It's amazing always to think about how, you know, today we're very blessed. We're living in a very... In very good times. So it's probably the best time in human history ever to be alive today. Because, you know, we have heat in the winter, Baruch Hashem, we have air conditioning in the summer, we have food as much as we want. Every other, you know, every day there's, you know, 20 pizza boxes coming to this building and Carlos and Gabi's. It's already like an entitlement. Like, we get so much and we're so spoiled, Baruch Hashem, then, you know, we don't know what it used to be like. And I don't either, but Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach grew up in the old Yishuv in Yerushalayim in the early 1900s. And he said, I think he used to say that there wasn't a single day that he felt good when he was a little bacher learning. because he always was sick and he never had anything to eat. I think he said about himself, I'm not mistaken, that he had, like, there were many, many brothers and sisters in his family, and his parents would basically get like one egg in the morning for the entire family. His mother would boil the egg and they would cut it up into like 8 slices, one egg. I'm sure the eggs weren't dinosaur eggs either. They're probably like very small eggs. And every kid got a little sliver of an egg, and that would keep them, you know, going for the entire day. They literally had nothing. And, you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman used to chide Bachrim, who, you know, why weren't you in yeshiva? They, I wasn't feeling so well. He says, if I didn't go to yeshiva every time I didn't feel well, he says, I would never have gone to yeshiva one day in my life. I was always sickly, and there was never any protein inside of me. There's no nutrition. And somehow, miraculously, he was able to become Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He was able to, you know, write tremendous Chidushei Torah and on many subjects already from when he was a young man, a bacher. And I don't know how he did it. I mean, I'm telling you, like, when I'm, you know, especially on a tainus, you ever try sitting and learning on a tainus? Like, by the afternoon, you're going crazy. You can't, you know, you need to, like, go to sleep. You need to, it's very hard to concentrate if you don't have any food inside of you. On days that you don't have a coffee in the morning, it's like, you know, it's really hard. But, you know, Gedalia Yisrael were able to sort of just put...
I found out he went without food one for a week and go, put out my best day, and then go, what are you thinking of mine? I'm not even lying to me. They come out and do a third. Every day.
Yep. So, but anyway, but the point, the basic point is that im ein kemach ein tayr. If you don't have kemach, then you don't have tayr. That's why the best investment, if you want to, you know, invest in something tayridic, it's to provide people that, you know, that need. You support yeshiva, you support temche Shabbos, something that actually feeds people, that will enable their family, or Chickens for Shabbos, one of these organizations that literally gives food for people to put on the tables, that the husbands and the girls and the boys and everybody in the family is able to be normal. Because if you don't have food when you come home, it's not a normal existence. It's not a, you know, with, you can have everything else, but if you don't have food, then it's worthless. It's you can't live, you can't survive. V'lachein kasser abeisenu tzivsa atayra la shulchan. Haremez leparnas lefneam menay remez leteira. Again, another remez to this important yisayid, that the shulchan, which is in the Beis HaMikdash, which symbolizes parnasa, the bread, that comes before the menay, which symbolizes teira. K'may sh'amr sh'lay nitna teira, el leich lehaman, el leich lechuma. Fine. U'lefichah kasava avodram, that before Matan Torah you have to take care of the Tefuah, which is Pesach. Kim ein kemach ein Torah. Okay, so now let us, now that he's bringing a lot of these different rayas to ein kemach ein Torah, and he's basically bringing the Seferno on our parsha about, first I'm asking you for lechem lechel ubeger lobesh, and then I'm going to do everything that you want. But first, I need to know that I have the most basic sustenance possible. Now, and this is the reason why I chose this particular piece, because he brings an autobiographical account of what happened to him when he was a bacher, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. Ubihaya Maison. This is the mice that happened to me. He went through also like a crazy history, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky. He says, "Kisha Germanim kavshu es Poland, mitzad ze, vaharusim mitzad ze." The Germans conquered Poland. The first country to fall into German hands at the beginning, and that really marked the beginning of World War II, was in 1939 when the Germans invaded Poland. And so the Germans invaded Poland on one side, and then the Russians came in and they invaded Poland on the other side. So Nispatzer Makim Begehenim Belita. Hachavshe Shukma Betavech. So there was a little place in Gehenna. He describes this whole situation as Gehenna. But Lithuania, which was free at the time, that was sort of Nishta and Nishtaher. It was still somewhere in the middle. It wasn't under German occupation. It wasn't under Russian occupation. V'amayne b'nei yeshivas matzu miklat b'ir Vilna. So a lot of the yeshiva bachrim found an escape in near Vilna, in the city of Vilna. We know that this didn't last too long either, because the Lithuanians eventually, when the Germans came into Lithuania, it was the Lithuanian Gaim that were, they say, much more ruthless and disgusting to the Yidden than even the Nazis. They made the Nazis almost look civil in comparison. They were, the sinna that the Lithuanian Gaim had for the Jews in their jurisdiction was much greater even than the invading Nazis. And many of the stories that you hear, the atrocities that took place in Lithuania were really carried out by the Lithuanian Gaim themselves. In any event, but before they were, when Lithuania was still independent, so all the yeshiva bachrim that were in Poland, they were invited by Reb Chaim Eiser to come to the city of Vilna, where he was the Rav. And Ratzisi li kanes el hagain Reb Chaim Eiser zatzal, and I wanted to enter the home of Reb Chaim Eiser. Reb Chaim Eiser was the chief rabbi of Vilna, but he was really the chief rabbi of Klal Yisrael. He was like the Reish Kol B'nei Hagayla. He was an amazing leader of Klal Yisrael between the two world wars, between World War I and World War II. He died right at the beginning of World War II, right when Klal Yisrael was real at the height of desperation. He died.
You think that was the death of protection?
Right. So right as shortly after Reb Chaim Eiser died, you know, that was the beginning of the end. But until then, Reb Chaim Eiser invited all the yeshiva bachrim to come to Vilna, and he somehow, some way, was able to raise the money to provide for them. There were thousands and thousands of yeshiva bachrim that fled from all of the yeshivas in the surrounding areas. They came to Vilna, and he found housing for all of them. He found Batei Medrash for the actual yeshivas. He didn't put all the yeshiva bachrim in the same exact Beis Medrash. He kept the Batei Medrash separate, so, you know, different yeshivas that were coming into Vilna, they all had their own chaburas in their own shuls or Batei Medrashim, and then they were all provided for, and they were given money for eating and for sleeping and everything that they needed. Reb Chaim Eiser single-handedly raised all of this money. I don't know how he did it. Anyway, Umekairavai Hagan Reb Chizkiyahu Yosef Mishkovsky, another one of the Gedolei Yisrael that was very close to Reb Chaim Eiser, Shai Rabba Shal Iri Krinik. So, Kavali Tar Lamachers Hayayim Bachas Esri Babaiker. So he basically, he said that I could come and visit Reb Chaim Eiser at 11 o'clock in the morning, and he needed something, Yaakov Linsley needed a favor from Reb Chaim Eiser. Kol ha'layla yashanti merev hisrakshus. So he says, the whole night I couldn't sleep because I was so scared. V'shinanti esugyas mesechas yevamisha sheyushigurim alpi. He was afraid that Reb Chaim Eiser, when he was talking to him about whatever he needed that he was coming to Reb Chaim Eiser for, he thought that he was going to first get a faher. That before he asked for anything from Reb Chaim Eiser would say, "Nu, what are you learning? I'm learning Yevamis. Okay, nu, tell me a chiddush on Yevamis." So the whole night before he was about to go into Reb Chaim Eiser's office, he was going over Maseches Yevamis again and again. So if he asks me any questions, I shouldn't stammer, but rather I should say immediately, that's the first Mishnah on Yevamis. It's a very, very difficult Maseches Yevamis, and this is what he was going over the night before. He got to Yevamayed. So I came the next day at the time that I was supposed to meet with Reb Chaim Eiser. there were 30 people ahead of me online. And each of them had their own peckle, their own tzara that they were coming to Reb Chaim Eizer to help resolve. Lepesa niftachab hadeles, v'arav Mishkovsky karli likane. So at that moment, the door opens. Rav Mishkovsky summons me to come in. Hisrag shusi gaso. Amadati lufnei Rav Moshe Yisrael. He said, I was like so nervous. I stood in front of the Rebbe of Klal Yisrael, Rav Chaim Eizer. Hayisi batucham, batuach shashela rishonatia matalim. And I was convinced that the very first question I'd be asked is, what are you learning? Hashela shnei machidash atalas achidish. Hashela shlishes hama oid chidash. What else were you machadish? But b'makim zeh, instead of that, shal shalosh shelos acheres, three other questions, not the ones that I was expecting, three other questions were asked. Harishayna, the first question was, masai kibalta l'achreina michta me'arim, when was the last time that you received a letter from your parents? Anisi kivar chatzi shana shenutak hakesher, it's been already half a year that the relationship has been severed, that I haven't heard from them. And they are found on the Russian side of the border. Anachnu barachnu lita miatzad haGermani, and we fled to Lithuania on the German side of the border. Hashela Shni, the second question that was asked by Reb Chaim Eizer to myself: Ham yeshli semicha? Do you have a mattress or a blanket? Al makam shena leshal. L'ravim lehaya, yashanu al safsali beis hamedrash, avol bli smicha alulam haya l'kfei l'mavis. But without a blanket, I mean, he didn't ask me about if I had a place to sleep, because many people didn't have an actual bed, and many people would sleep on the benches of a beis hamedrash. But without a blanket, you could freeze to death. That was the second question that Reb Chaim Eizer asked me. Anisi sheyeshli v'nachadayte. So he was pleased that I had one. Hashel Ashish, but the third question was, Efshar Lirois Esnel Lecha. Could I possibly, can you show me your shoes? He didn't say, are your shoes okay? He said, let me see your shoes. Hispayashti, I was embarrassed. Avalei Haisa Breira, I didn't have a choice. Hey Ramti Es HaMichnas HaMetula. So I raised my pant leg, that was all ripped. The pants were all rags and thorn worn out. V'nalai nira b'malai hadaron, and my shoes were seen in all their glory. And that's of course very cynical. B'navardik hayoyim al nalai abachrim. In Navardik they used to say, and he was a Navardiker, Rabbi Yaglins used to say about the shoes of the Bachrim, kulam ahuvim, kulam berurim, v'chulam peischem espiem. They all had tears. You could see the mouths of the shoes. You know, sometimes you see the sole is ripped away from the rest of the top of the shoe. Miyad nasim likesav liknei zug nalayim. So immediately Reb Chaim Eizer gave me money to buy another pair of shoes. V'amar, Khan Besra, here is where you're going to be sleeping. Hupasua Chavurcha Esamar Bashois Bimama. This is where you're going to be, and it's open for you 24 hours a day. This is where I want you to be. Vani Kisheshamati Bimakim Lismayach. And when I heard these words, instead of being happy, Hishalti Livkais, I started to cry. Mehasrakshus, from the sheer emotional. From the emotional impact that this had on me. Hirgashti shalom mishahu ichbas mimani. That there is somebody in the world that actually cared about me. Lechakarei siyal tzareseyen, v'tzares tzareseyen shalayivamis. He didn't ask me about the tzareseyen and tzares tzareseyen. In the first sugya in Yivamis is about tzares. Tzares is if a person has two wives, so they're each of the wives are called Saras because they cause Saras to each other. and the, you know, so there's a lot of lumdus involved in the tzaras and the tzaras of when it comes to Yibam, and but he didn't ask me about those types of tzaras. Ella, in Yenu Isai, what really interested him was tzaraisai, my tzaras, v'tzaras tzaraisai actually, and my many, many tzaras that I had. Ke'elu hayu g'day l'Yisrael. This is what a gadol b'Yisrael is. Gadol b'Yisrael is not somebody that is the biggest Talmud Chacham of the Dar. It's not somebody that's you know, that wrote the most svarim of the Dar. But a real gadol b'Yisrael is somebody who cares intimately about the needs of every yid. And this was Reb Chaim Eizer. Reb Chaim Eizer was the gadol. The Gadol Adar, but not just because he was actually the biggest Talmud Chacham of the Dar, which he was, but because he was a person that had a heart of gold. His caring and his concern for every single Yid. You see, we know Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky because we're learning his Torah every week. At the time, Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky was a Bachar, and he was one of thousands of Bacharim. And it's very easy, you know, when you're dealing with many, many people, to look at them as numbers and to make calculations. Reb Chaim Eizer, even though there were literally, I don't know how many Bachrim there were that were under his, you know, his care and concern, but there were probably over 10, 20, 30,000 maybe that he was caring for. And Reb Chaim Eizer, you know, took this one bachur and he cared about him. He was concerned about him. He gave him money for shoes. He wanted to make sure he had a blanket and a place to sleep, and he had food. And this is what godless is. Reb Chaim Eizer once said that when he was a bachur, when he was younger, he thought that the greatest thing in life was to publish his own Chidushei Torah. That was like a dream that he had. And then as he got older, he realized that what was really much more chashuv than writing Chidushei Torah is taking care of Yisayim and Almanis. And he said that he put out three volumes of his Sefer Achiezer, but they came out much later in life because he really focused his whole life on being, you know, taking care of the needs of Klal Yisrael. And this is basically what Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky is teaching us from this parasha, that Imein Kemach Ein Torah. Torah is the most amazing thing in the world, but you have to be concerned that other people have Kemach in order to properly learn Torah. Torah itself, the fact that you're comfortable in your own Dalet Amos and you're learning is great, but you have to make sure that other people also have the ability to learn Torah, and that's only by ensuring that there's Kemach. And this is what Yaakov Avinu is really telling the Rabbein Shalom during this parsha, that if you give me lechem lechel, it seems like such a small request in return for what he wanted. He wanted HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he wanted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he would be mekabel any midas hadin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu serves him up for what? If you just give me food to eat, because the most basic thing that a person needs in order to learn is food. And it's something that I think we all take for granted. It's so, you know, Baruch Hashem, like I said before, we live in such times that, you know, we don't know what it means to be hungry. We have no idea. I just came from Eretz Yisrael. I came this morning back, and the contrast that, you know, like we walked, I was there to visit my son, so my wife and I came, and we walked past one of these new building projects. It's in Geula, like it's Spitz project, and it's like, you know, the fanciest. They have like the pictures of what the model apartment looks like, and it's, you know, with marble floors and, you know, gorgeous views of Yerushalayim and all the amenities possible. And then we walk down from Geula to Mea Sharim and to the back alleys like near the mirror, and you see like these families that are so poor that, and the kids are like, you know, they have torn clothing and their faces are like pitch black from like you know, from dirt. They don't have the ability to shower properly and clean themselves. And like within literally you know, 4-block radius, you have the height of luxury, and then you have people that literally don't have lechem lechel. All within, like, you know, it's not, at least, you know, in America, you have, let's say, you know, rich communities, and then you have poor communities. Like, here, it's, like, very rich, like, the super wealthy and the super poor within literally, like, a minute's walk of each other. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, we're on the part of life that we have. We're in a yeshiva that has everything, and, you know, I hope at home, you know, everybody here has barachos, but, you know, there are many people that don't. And there are many people that literally, you know, wonder every night where they're going to have food for the next day, and they don't have lunch money, and they don't have the ability to buy basic foods and basic necessities. And, you know, this is something that if you want to really be a Gadol B'Yisrael, you have to take care of the unfortunate, of the misfortune, of the people that don't have the same luxuries and the same gifts as we have. And if you're able to provide food and sustenance for people that are, for families that need it, so your schus is a medes lad, because you're basically, all the Torah that's being learned that will come out of this family, you could be supporting, you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach potentially. And, you know, how much Torah could be learned that's not being learned because of poverty, because of the fact that their nutrition is so bad. And, you know, it's something to think about. And it, even if, besides for supporting other people, which is, you know, maybe we're not there because, you know, still young and Bachrim, you don't have necessarily the money to help others, but at least we should appreciate what we do have. And when we have, you know, we're able to go upstairs by breakfast, and, you know, if you're on the meal plan by lunch and supper or whatever you're doing in terms of food, to be able to make a bracha, like a mensch, over food and not to take it for granted. The only people that take it for granted, you know, somebody told me when we were eating there, like we were, you know, on Shabbos, we were eating at, you know, one of these hotels that have these, like, huge smorgs, you know, you get a ticket, you buy it, everyone has to buy a ticket, it's very expensive in these hotels, but, you know, and there's so much food there, it's like a crazy amount of food, and so somebody at my table said, you know, food is overrated, you know, like, as if, like, you know, you don't need all this, like, you just need a little, I said, food is only overrated because you have food. If you don't have food, it's not overrated, you know, if you, and you have to appreciate the fact that we have the food. Because if you don't have food, you go crazy. If you don't have food, then you can't survive, you can't exist. We take it for granted that we go upstairs and we have coffee and we have tea and we have bagels and we have eggs and we have, you know, whatever things that we have every single day. It's such a given to us that we don't even, like, appreciate it. And you have to appreciate it. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that when you bench, after you finish your meal, and you bench with kavana, benching with kavana is a skula. It's like a guarantee that if you bench with kavana, the Mishnah Berurah brings this, that if you bench with kavana, you will never be wanting a food. What's the pshat? I think the pshat is pasha, that if you don't appreciate the food, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rahman al-Slan, has to make you appreciate it. Because you don't appreciate it. It's just a given, everything is a given, so the Rebbeinu says, okay, listen, let's try not giving it to him. But if you, when you have the food, if you're able to appreciate it, you make a bracha rishayna, you make a bracha achreina, you bench like a normal person, like we don't, a lot of times we just bench and I think we're all guilty of this, you know, how many times do we really sit with a bench and really be mechavin what we say? Normally, you know, we have to run, we had a meal, okay, so I bench, you know, just like in a few minutes, if even that, you just bench the whole thing. You don't think about what you're saying. But when you bench with kavana, what you're basically saying to the Rebbeinu Shlomo is, I get it. I realize that it's not a given that I have food. It's not so. There are many people, there are billions of people probably in the world every night that don't have food, and every morning don't have food, and I have food. You gave me food, and I appreciate it. I'm not a kafir taif. And when a person's able to really be machshiv the food that we're given by making a bracha rishana, by making a bracha achrayna, by benching, by not, how many times do we eat a cookie or a cup of soda or something, we just run away, we forget to make a bracha achrayna. Why do we do that? Because it's such a given to us. It's not a gift. It's like, okay, of course I have it. So it's not important enough for me almost to remember to bench. But when a person does get it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, that's a person that I want to just keep on giving food to because he understands the chashivas of food. And this is a very, very critical thing. When we think of like an ideal, we think of Torah as an ideal. But Torah needs kemach. Torah needs to be fed. And if we're feeding Torah and we appreciate the food that we have to learn Torah, then that's a different life. It's a different life when we're able to actually appreciate all the many blessings that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. And it's hard to remember that every single day, but once in a while to catch ourselves and to really say before we eat, wow, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. Were it not for the brachas of Hashem, maybe I would also be one of those people that come home and don't have anything in the fridge to eat and don't have any, go to sleep hungry. It's almost unheard of what I'm saying, but in Eretz Yisrael it happens every night. And in America, I'm sure it does also. My wife used to do speech therapy. She's a speech therapist. She used to do home care in this neighborhood, in Kew Garden Hills. And there are people, she told me, you know, she goes into people's houses. The government provides these services. So she would go into people's houses. And she told me stories. People should, you know, they literally, their fridge was empty. She would go herself and buy like eggs and milk and a loaf of bread and dip them in the fridge because these people push it. This, I'm not talking now about Meir Shem, I'm talking about people, you know, three blocks away from here. There are people in our day and age in America that literally do not have food. They cannot afford to put food on the table. And this isn't a guilt trip for us. It's something that should just make us wake up and realize the blessings that we do have.
My brother does food for Shabbos. 45 towns. Over 200.
Over 200 families?
Uh-huh.
What, in the whole five towns that need to have Shabbos?
Five towns, pocket, table, oil.
Yeah. So, you know, it's...
And that's good Shabbos. Not to fit more.
It's very misleading. Like, we don't know. Like, we think, you know, somebody lives in the five towns, all of a sudden, you know, you think that they're loaded and they have everything going for them. And, that, you know, it's very easy in this day and age to fool people. Because, you know, you could, when I was growing up as a kid, if you didn't have money, you didn't have a car. If you had a car, it was like an old piece of junk car. Because, you know, yet in the old days, they didn't have a concept of leasing. So if you bought your car, you just had to buy a car. It's like a chiddush, but you had to actually, just like you have to, you know, buy a, you know, you had to buy your car. So what kind of car you owned, it was a really good, way of figuring out how much money a person had. If you were driving a brand new Cadillac, that meant you were a big gevir. If you were driving a piece of junk, then it means you weren't. Today, every yeshiva bacher, you know, leases for $200. You lease a spitzy, Honda or whatever, Kia or something like that. You get a beautiful brand new car for $200 a month, and you give it back after a couple of years of using it. You get a brand new one again. And, so you don't really know, like, who has what. But there are many people, like Mayor points out, like, you know, you can live in a very big house. You could drive a really nice car. You can dress really well, you know. But and Pasha don't have any money, and we'd be shocked to know that, you know, it's like Eilam Hafuch, like people that some people look really rich and they're very poor. There are people that look like poor and they're very rich, and you don't really know. And we generalize by people's zip codes or whatever, but it's all baloney. It doesn't mean anything. And so we have to like be very appreciative of what we do have, the blessings that we have. This is a great time of year to, you know, it's getting colder outside. If we have a coat, we have heat. You know, it's not a given that you have heat in the winter. There are many people that can't afford to have heat, and they're freezing cold at night, and they bundle up, and they have to, I'm not talking, this is during the war times, this was really Gehenna, but like even in peace times, even USA, there are many people that don't have heat tonight. And if you have heat in your dorm room, and you have heat in the yeshiva and the Beis Medrash, imagine if, sometimes the heat is broken and like everybody's complaining that it's freezing, and you know, it's very hard to learn when it's freezing cold. But when we have heat, we have to chap, like that we have heat. And in the summer, if you have air conditioning, you have to chap that you have air conditioning, because it's not a given at all. And when you have food on the table, you have to really appreciate it and thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, you know, on your hands and knees, that you have something to put into your stomach, that you're able to learn. And, you know, these are things that you have to have kavana by benching, to have kavana by Birchas HaShachar, by Maidim, by Shema Kaleinu, by, you know, there's nothing that we say, Baruch Aleinu, everything you have to really, I'm not preaching to you, I'm talking now to myself. When we daven, we have to really have kavana in what we're saying, because we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. And we don't want it the other way. We don't want the Rabbeinu Shalom to have to show us how we didn't appreciate it by lack of appreciation for him and what he does for us. And the best way to ensure that we always have a Mitzvah Hashem, they're always on the inside of the door, not knocking on the outside of the door, is by appreciating what we have, by thanking the Rabbeinu Shalom profusely for everything that he gives us, and by never assuming that what we have was always the way it was supposed to be and will always be this way just because we have it today. Things, Rahman al-Islam, change, and things are, nothing is certain, and even in you know, times of blessing that we live in and prosperity, there are many exceptions to the rule, and we never want to be an exception. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should all understand what Yaakov Avinu was davening for. I just want lechem lechel begelobish, just the basic things that you give me, and when you give me that, then you make nedarim to the Rabbeinu Shalom, I'll give you everything, I'll be your best eved, but just make sure that I always have the basic necessities that I need, and I will never, ever take them for granted.